the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. It's hard to believe we are already wrapping up the month of March and looking so forward to the start of the Major League Baseball season. And the guy that's taken us out to the ballpark is one of the Big E's favorites, and that is my good buddy Fran Zimnick, who just continues to bring it hard and strong. Another book out. Of course, this one is titled Fireman, The Evolution of the Closer in Baseball. Congratulations, Fran. It's great to have you back on the program.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Talk to us a little bit about as far as this particular book. I always like to ask you, because it seems like every year you're putting out a new book, what was the inspiration behind this particular read?
Well, I always wanted to write a book about pitching, and I had some concepts that just didn't fly for one reason or another. And it just dawned on me that of all the changes in baseball, nothing has changed more than relief pitching. So that kind of got me into the idea of researching it, and that's basically where the idea started. I wanted to write about pitching, and obviously the biggest change in the game is relief pitching with, you know, the one-inning closer now.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, too, as you go through the book, you don't just focus in on the closer, the reliever, but you also talk about just how everything has changed in terms of the starting pitcher as well.
Well, it starts with the starter. I mean, you know, what came first, the 100-pitch limit or the specialization in the bullpen? Did one feed the other, or did... How much of the big contracts and the fact that they're trying to protect starters and also protect relievers by not having them go more than one inning enter into it? You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that caused the change. And I just thought to have a little bit of a historical perspective just to see how much more important relief pitching is to the game of baseball now than it was, say, a generation ago even.
Fran Zimnick, you're listening to his voice. He is a sports author, a columnist, an award-winning, I should say, sports author. And, of course, we are highlighting and previewing his brand-new book. It is titled Fireman, The Evolution of the Closer in Baseball. Fran, before we get too far into this interview, where can all of our friends and folks tuning in to the Big E Sports Show, where can they go and get a copy of this brand-new book?
If they don't have it at your local bookstore, they can get it in. It's also available on Amazon.com. And my only problem with it is that Mariano Rivera is on the cover, and being a Phillies fan, that's not a pleasant memory from last year's World Series. But other than that...
It sounds like you need to go eye-to-eye, toe-to-toe with your publisher on that. How did that work out?
You know what? If it sells more books, I'll just sell my soul.
Well, I don't want you to do that. You have mentioned, in terms of just so many of the changes that have happened within Major League Baseball, you know, back in the day, starting pitchers, they were pretty much expected to complete most of the game when they were out there on the mound. That's not so anymore, right?
Oh, not at all. I mean, back in the 1950s, I think it was, Robin Roberts had a five-year period where he averaged 28 or 29 complete games a season. In 2008, in the National League Eastern Division, there were a total of 13. So that just tells you just how much it has changed over the years. And now we've gone from, you know, a case where relief pitchers were basically the redheaded stepchildren that nobody wanted on a team to being very valued members. You have not just a closer now, but you have a setup guy, you have a left-handed specialist, you have a middle guy, you have a long guy. It's a whole litany of new pitching performances now.
So what is the pitch count now? You had mentioned, 100 pitches per game, but I mean, what are we talking about?
There's a school of thought that a good starting pitcher doesn't get loose when he throws about 100 pitches. But again, they're paying these guys tens of millions of dollars, and I think they want to protect their investment. And if you're the manager who lets a guy throw 145 pitches and he throws out his arm, you're going to be in big trouble.
Well, if you want to protect your investment, of course, you're going to value the closer's role and the special characteristics. Now, Franny, you go ahead and you break down within your book the top 20 closers of all time. Kind of indulge our audience and share a little bit.
Well, it's such a difficult task to do that. And that was the publisher's idea. But, you know, when I was doing the list, I just thought, well, you know, you have to look at total saves, you have to look at postseason, but I think you also have to look at people who have impacted the game. So, you know, whereas I have Mariano Rivera as a top closer of all time, I have Dennis Eckersley as number two. And he didn't have as many saves, and he spent half of his career as a starter, but he and his manager, Tony La Russa, were really the people who brought in the one-inning close. So I think he deserves to be there. And people like Trevor Hoffman and, you know, to me, the biggest unfair example in baseball these days is that Lee Smith is in the Hall of Fame, and Lee wrote the foreword for the book. But, you know, how can you compare a guy like Rivera and Eckersley and Hoffman, who were one-inning closers, with guys like Raleigh Fingers and Goose Gossage, Lee Smith, Bruce Sutter, guys who would pitch maybe one or even two or three innings to get a save. It's really comparing apples and oranges, so it's a difficult thing to do.
It's interesting you talk about Lee Smith, that he's the best closer and not in the Hall of Fame. How many games did he save?
Well, he's not. I wouldn't say he's the best. I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to look at total saves, Lee Smith had 478. The guy in the Hall of Fame who has the most is Eckersley with 390. You have Fingers with 341. People like that. To me, all you need to know is 478. He's third in all-time saves, and he always will be. Trevor Hoffman is number one with 591. Rivera is number two with 526. And then you have Lee Smith with 478. His nearest competitor is retired, John Franco, who had 424. So it's not even a discussion as far as I'm concerned. And plus, Smith didn't play for a lot of good teams. So he didn't have as many opportunities to get saves as a lot of other pitchers did who played on really good teams.
We're talking and going one-on-one with Fran Zimnick. Brand new book that he has got out titled Fireman, The Evolution of the Closer in Baseball. One of my best friends, her son is a closer. He is with the Wichita State Shockers. I'm going to definitely go out and get a copy of this book for him. And I do like in that top 20 list, Fran, you also list Goose Gossage. Now, this is a guy that I certainly remember, an overpowering pitcher who dominated.
He really did. He's one of these guys who has an issue with people saying that Rivera is the best of all time because he says you're not comparing apples and oranges. Goose would pitch three innings, or you know, probably an average of two to three innings every time out. So after he pitches the first inning, he's got to gear himself up and get all psyched to go out again and then again. And he really has an issue with that. And we spoke about it in depth. He's also a fantastic interview.
Very good. Now, Fran, talk to us about as far as the breakdown of this book. You do provide a very extensive historical perspective and going all the way back to what, the 20s?
1860s, the first part of the game. You know, the early stages of the game when you had maybe one pitcher on a roster. You had 10 or 11 players all together. So we go back from the very start of baseball. And relief pitching was just not part of the game at all. And then one of the first proponents of it was the New York Giants manager, John McGraw, who started using pitchers that way. And then you had early relief pitchers like Three Finger, Mordecai Brown, people like that, who started to relieve a little bit, but for a long time, a lot of the relief pitchers were starting pitchers throwing between their starts. That's how little respect or need there was for relief pitchers. But then, in the 1950s and early 60s, you had pitchers like Louis Arroyo, Hoyt Wilhelm, Jack Balson, and Elroy Face, and these guys did something different. Before these four pitchers, every relief pitcher was the same as a starter, throwing the same pitches. He just didn't throw them as well as a starter did. That's why he wasn't starting. But Arroyo was a left-hander who threw a screwball and a forkball. Elroy Face had probably the best forkball ever. Hoyt Wilhelm had one of the best knuckleballs ever. And Jack Balchin really introduced the screwball. And these four guys basically came into the game with unhittable trick pitches that not only were hard to hit, but they were hard to catch. There's a great story about a guy named Charlie Lau, who was a great hitting instructor a generation ago. And he was a catcher during his playing career, and he was famous for saying, not only is the knuckleball hard, you know, he says there's two theories for catching a knuckleball. He says, unfortunately, neither one of them work.
So, that's great.
But these four guys really did revolutionize the game of baseball with trick pitches, and they were strictly relievers, too.
Hey, Fran Zimnick is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We also want to take time to recognize our premier corporate sponsor and friend at Western Company of Texas. Of course, their website is posted on ours, and you can check out some great information right there. You know, it is interesting. You talked about, Fran, in the foreword, it was written by Lee Smith, but also some wonderful endorsements on the back of the book, Tim McCarver and Jim Gott.
Tim McCarver, Jim Gott, and Carl Erskine. And there are three people who I've been fortunate enough to know. Gott and I are very friendly. He's a wonderful guy. In fact, you should have him on your show because of his involvement with autism. Wonderful guy. He does a lot of good charity work and whatnot. But, you know, he pitched 14 years in the major leagues. Carl Erskine was a famous Brooklyn Dodger. And Tim McCarver is, of course, Tim McCarver.
Yes, and how is our good friend Bill Giles? How's he doing these days?
He's doing real well. He was a little disappointed in the World Series, but losing the World Series is not the worst thing in the world.
I know within the book that you did have the opportunity to kind of go inside the minds of some of the best big league players. Who were some of those things that you heard from them?
It was so much fun to talk to some of these people. Again, Carl Erskine, who was a great old-time pitcher. I talked to Elroy Face, Jack Balchin from the older days. I talked to Jim Fregosi, a former manager in the major leagues. Fred Clair, who was the general manager of the Dodgers for 10 years. And then people like Eckersley, who was an incredible interview. Goose Gossage, Lee Smith, Ferguson Jenkins. It was just a fun project to work on, and they all had very similar things to say about how they approached the role of a relief pitcher, but some of them were different as well. It was just fascinating to pick their brain, and you could still hear the competitiveness in their voice when they talk about pitching.
Well, it's nice to be reflective and do on that, but did they also kind of share a little bit with you as far as how much Major League Baseball, how much the game has evolved, how much it has changed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the specialization in the game. You know, not just on the pitching staff, but that kind of is the biggest place for it. But it's totally changed over the years. And one of the guys I spoke with is a great announcer named Chris Wheeler, who's announced baseball for about 30 years. And he was really unhappy with some of the criticism of baseball because of its increased specialization. Because, in fairness, look at all the other sports. They have specialization as well. Baseball's just evolving.
Well, tell us, Fran, as we get ready to wrap up this weekend's interview, how are your Phillies going to do this year?
I think if we stay away from injuries, they'll win the division, and they have, again, you never know in the playoffs, but the team is so strong. If they stay healthy and whatnot, I think they can get back to the World Series.
What kind of offseason changes did they have?
We brought in Placido Polanco to play third base to replace Pedro Feliz. And, of course, the big trade was trading Cliff Lee for some prospects and then acquiring Roy Halladay from the Blue Jays. Already making his presence felt on the team. He might have a chance to win 20 games this year. And for the team to do well, Brad Lidge absolutely has to come back.
Well, listen, Fran, we are flat out of time. We want to encourage you guys to go out and get a copy of this book. It is packed with insight from men who helped change the reliever's role. Goose Gossage, Lee Smith, Fergie Jenkins. Fireman is a must-read for all baseball fans. Again, Fireman, the evolution of the closer in baseball. Go online, Amazon.com. You can get a copy of that. And, of course, the publisher is Triumph Books. So, Fran, congratulations. You're an amazing guy. I don't know how you work a full-time job and find time to do all this writing.
That's why I never get in any trouble.
Outstanding. Listen, Fran, thanks so much for stopping by, and we will catch up with you again real soon.
It's always a pleasure.
Much more straight ahead. We got Jason Peter coming up with our Under the Helmet segment. Stay close.